shades like advice.
December 2009, Matt Dillmore, along with
Matthew Alsberg.
Mr. Rouse in the building, Mr. Rouse.
I'm not in the building, I'm in the phone booth outside the building.
It is.
They won't let me in.
Four walls.
They turn racist on me.
Four walls. Eddie, I want to say, before we begin, happy holidays to you, senor.
Whoa. Happy holidays, Matt.
Happy holidays. What do you celebrate this time of year? Line them up.
Yeah.
Which
ones? I celebrate being unemployed because it's the slowest time in the entertainment industry. So I'm celebrating that I'm unemployed.
Also, really quickly, want to say thank you and happy holidays to tangential members of the Rouse family.
Who's tangentials?
Oh, Eddie Kane.
Curtis Sabir.
Oh, yeah. Happy holidays.
Look out for that name in 2010.
Cool. Curtis Sabir.
Curtis Sabir.
Look out for that name.
Yeah. Look out for it on a wanted poster.
In the post office.
Well, yeah. Eddie, we've kind of...
UPS office.
We've done something differently with this Eddie Sage Like Advice. It's the special holiday 2009 edition. And what we've done is three questions, each question from a member of the armed forces.
Well, good. My heart goes out to the armed forces, to the ground personnel.
Yeah.
Because it's always young men being put to death by some old motherfuckers trying to make bank.
Well, that being said, Mr. Rouse, let's delve into that first of three military questions here for the holidays.
Oh my God.
Hi, Eddie. I'm anxiously awaiting your take on this. It's going to sound like a funny, lighthearted dilemma, but trust me, it's anything but.
Not if you climbing rocks, it ain't. I know it ain't.
My boyfriend Jalen has served two tours of duty in Iraq. He's a good guy, and I can honestly say that he's the best thing to happen to me in a long time. Since returning home this second time, however, he does seem a bit, quote, different, end quote. Shell-shocked, battle-weary, call it what you will. I believe that if he ever agreed to see a doctor, he'd get diagnosed. He'd diagnose Jared with PTSD. I'm writing you, however, not with regard to how I can help him deal with this disorder, but rather about his completely insensitive younger brother, Jared. You see, Eddie, ever since they were boys, Jalen and Jared have regularly engaged in an ongoing prank war. In their teenager years, it was truly innocent stuff, but now Jared is up the ante. Here are just three of Jared's pranks versus those of my boyfriend. Prank 1. Jared rounded up all of Jalen's weapons, pistols, knives, rifles, martial arts, ephemera, all of it, and put them in our shower. He then turned the shower on full blast. This was at 3 in the morning, Eddie. My Jared sprang out of bed, and when he turned on the bathroom lights, Jared was nowhere to be found. Or my Jalen sprang out of bed, and when he turned on the bathroom lights, Jared was nowhere to be found as he escaped through an open window above the sink. This cryptic image has haunted Jalen's dreams ever since. In retaliation, Jalen put super glue in Jared's basketball shoes. Prank 2. Jared spent the night in Jalen's car, tucked behind the driver's seat. Jalen got into his car on his way to work, unaware his brother was in the back seat. Eddie, as sick as it sounds, Jared waited until my boyfriend was 3 blocks out of our driveway before springing up behind Jalen. He was wearing a camouflage ski mask and apparently exclaimed something that sounded like a Middle Eastern battle cry.
Oh my God.
Jalen slammed on the brakes and later that night, as he recalled this story to me in our bedroom, cried in my bosom. Again,
well,
in retaliation,
so
Jalen hid Jared's DMV renewal in a laundry chute. Prank 3, Jared. Eddie, he used Photoshop to forge authentic-looking but ultimately fake court-martial papers implicating Jalen in a very real massacre that took place in Iraq. He even went so far as to mail the form to a military buddy in Washington so the postage would be from D.C. when it arrived in our mailbox. Jalen thought all of this was legit, even though he denied the claims, so accordingly he met with a lawyer to discuss this matter.
Oh my God.
Eddie, the lawyer, took one look at the documents and laughed in Jalen's face. Apparently, this legal eagle saw this as clear forgery, while Jalen was sadly not that perceptive. Jalen has not retaliated to this as a result. Eddie, my boyfriend, is struggling, plain and simple, with life. And she put life in, like, big caps. Mm-hmm. How do I step in and end this sadistic prank war? Best, Lucinda.
All right, the way you end this sadistic prank war is move and don't give his brother your address. Or send your boyfriend to Walter Reed Hospital to get some psychotherapy. I don't know how you... Like I said, the only way you can end something like this, the brothers have to come to a truce. You can't end it. This has been ongoing forever.
These are good pranks.
Yeah, they're very good pranks, but the man is suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder.
Which makes him better pranks.
Yeah, well, not really, because the man can end up going postal. All
right. Not if his guns are all waterlogged.
Yeah, but a lot of them guns, the newer guns, you know, they can take anything.
Although you give them that rusty knife.
Well, they got a new gun, they dunk in mud. This motherfucker will shoot. It's a variation and upgrade on M's AR-15. Anyway.
But let's go through the pranks. What the hell, the first one... That's just trying to spook him, like putting the guns in the shower.
No, man. I mean, come on. I mean, it's just fucking with people, man. He's just fucking with his brother. You know, he's hitting where home. But I don't see the problem. You can't do nothing about it. Again, move or just move. And don't give me your address or have a sit down. But you get in the middle of it. Sounds like this has been an ongoing thing since they were little boys. You know, the brothers have to end it. You know, maybe you can have a talk with the younger brother and tell him that your brother's going through post-traumatic stress, and you're stressing him out. You're getting him nightmares. That's family, man. I ain't got nothing to say about that shit.
These pranks seem to be... Jared seems to really be bringing the creative pranks. Jalen is hiding DMV renewal forms. You know what I mean? It's lame. Should he just step up his prank game? Like, hey, I got PTSD. That's cool. I'm gonna do something better than hide your car keys.
Yeah, you wake up with one of those guns in your face.
You know what, darling? It sounds like you got too much time on your hands, and you know that is not a problem for my sage like advice. That's some bullshit.
Whoa,
really?
That is the first. That's a first.
No,
it is. Come on, man. Please, bitch. Please.
A prank war?
So it's a prank war. Big fucking war.
Yeah, but
nobody's being hurt.
He's crying.
So I'm crying. Tell him, good. Then get some sex out of it. He's crying in your bosom. Make him suck your tits. I don't fucking know. Don't write me this idiotic bullshit.
All right. So we'll move on.
Give me some real questions, man. Like last month, we had real questions. A man was put to test because of the United States government and stupid motherfuckers.
That's true.
This bitch is writing me a fucking question about a prank.
Yeah, or
you know what a prank
pranks.
Is? Your question's a goddamn prank, okay?
Think about it, though, Eddie. Seriously, what if Curtis is in the backseat while you're driving 3 blocks away from your apartment and he jumps up and screams something, some crazy Islamic chant?
Or whatever, something that would traumatize you. Like,
yeah.
Whatever.
My brother,
whoever the enemies of, bump him in the face?
My first instinct, well, what I would do is slam on the brakes and duck and send the motherfucker through the windshield, okay? Period. If he did shit like that, I mean, come on, man. I don't know what my brother. I don't know. We don't play pranks like that.
My kind of question though is, where are the parents? Like,
parents?
At a certain point,
a grown man.
They're probably dead.
Yeah, but at a certain point, you would think like mom and dad would have to step in and be like, "Look,
there's nothing." See,
your
the thing is, there's nothing
war.
To step in on. I mean, these guys are practical jokers on each other. Obviously, they both love it. She never said her boyfriend has a problem with it. She's just writing shit to be writing shit. I'm surprised it got through.
He's just holding on.
He's struggling.
Holding on to what? Tell him mother. The motherfucker should be in Walter Reed Hospital. Bitch, take him to Washington. Get him some help. What do you mean? It's obvious. What the fuck is wrong with you? You know, you sound like you're still suffering from PTSD, whatever. Shit. Just give me some questions about your fucking relationship.
Well, listen, this is where it does get serious because this is the first question that we've, you know, actually really decided to jump into. We've had a couple questions that have tiptoed around this issue, but this is the first time we're actually really going to address it. It's a serious issue.
Is this the second question?
Yeah, second question.
Oh, we're gonna pull the plug
What's
on.
What's her name?
Lucinda?
Lucinda. Right.
Oh, Lucinda Resenda. So question number two, Eddie, big time fan of the segment and the show.
Thank you very much.
Here goes nothing.
I hope your question has merit.
My old man left when I was two, and my mom...
Your old man or your father?
I guess father, right?
Yeah.
Or did your boyfriend leave you when you were 2 years old?
Well, no, you know, kind of...
You never know. You never know in this day and age.
You know. It's a blue collar thing. Like,
I
old
guess.
Man. Like, oh, my old man ain't letting me go out of the house.
Yeah.
Where I come from, my old man means my boyfriend. So
yeah, that's true.
Is that
but
what she
said was two.
My old man left me.
Nice, he got me.
Listen, my old man left me when I was two.
And we'll listen.
And my mom did it on her own for 8 years until she met my stepdad. We moved into a big house. My mom never had to work another day in her life. She always had the nicest of clothes,
congrats.
Cars, and yet everything was not perfect.
Life ain't perfect, baby.
My piece of shit stepdad would come into the bathroom while I was showering and look at me. He would watch me as I got dressed and undressed at age 16. He was a very physically imposing man, and in one especially traumatic instance, he even disciplined me with a leather strap. Eddie, I'm almost 100% certain that he took a perverse sexual pleasure from inflicting this pain on my teenage body.
No shit.
The day that I turned 18, I left school and enlisted in the Air Force. And it's been almost...
And you've been taking it out on the Taliban ever since.
Well, it's been almost 19 years, and I've since married.
She's been in the military 19 years?
He.
Who?
This guy who's writing the question.
Oh, is it he?
Yeah.
So it's a gay thing?
No, it's not a gay thing. It's his son. He's the son, and the father was beating his ass.
The stepdad
was beating his ass.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is a boy whose stepfather would come in and watch him taking a shower?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a gay thing.
Well,
keep
that's
going.
A gay thing.
Oh, for the. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
I thought you were talking about a girl.
Oh, yeah, no. Okay.
Oh, it's
no.
a guy.
No, it's a guy.
Jeez.
So there is sex, gay, homoerotic.
Goddamn right, man. Okay. I mean, he's leering at him through the shower curtain.
So the day I turned 18, I left. I enlisted.
And these are motherfuckers in our military. Well, did you get a psych profile? Did any of these motherfuckers get psych profiles?
Well, listen, let me.
How do you run around with M16s and God knows what abilities? And they wonder why people going postal in America. Listen, look at the motherfuckers they're letting in the military.
Well, and
these are your listeners. Yeah, these are your fans.
These are, they're writing you. They ain't writing
I know
us.
They write me. God, motherfuckers, please get some fucking help. You well, listen, crazy listen, the motherfuckers are free.
This gets wild.
The motherfuckers in prison ain't got these kind of problems.
Well, listen. It's been almost 19 years since I've been in the Air Force. I've since married and I've started a family of my own. Oh. My wife, who I met while we were both serving at Rammstein, has known about the tension in my family and has tried to be very supportive. Well, my mom's husband has tracked me down a few weeks ago.
He wants to see what you look like 19 years later in the shower. Years,
and he asked me to come home and to bring my family home for Christmas.
Oh,
my mother has
second
been,
generation abuse.
My mother has been stricken with inoperable pancreatic cancer
and has asked me
to come see her. My wife and my 8-year-old son will be meeting her for the first time, perhaps before it's too late. That said, I do have a young son. I'm afraid to bring the kid around this guy. It would kill me if my son didn't get to meet my now dying mother, and it seems like she's in no condition to travel from a home in Massachusetts to mine in Colorado. Please, Eddie, give me something to break this deadlock in my head. Do I go home for the holidays with keep a watchful eye on my child, ignoring the dark past with my stepdad for the sake of my now dying mother? Or do I keep my child away from this monster and just give my mom a phone call from afar, hoping that this latter decision doesn't, in effect, haunt me if she does pass away? Much appreciated, your loyal listener. He identified himself as Broken Wings.
Broken Wings, I empathize with your plight. What I would do, in my opinion, is since you already have information and since you're forewarned, you're forewise, you already know this guy's MO. You already know what he's capable of. Yeah. So you have the upper hand in that sense. So you don't let your son out of his sight, out of your sight along his around sight. His mind.
Wow, that was a slip.
Out of your sight. So you already know what to look for. It's not like you're going to be blindsided. I think the most important thing here is that your mother does need to see, you need to see your mother for closure. It'd be good for her and it'd be good for your family to meet the grandmother finally. And I think it'd also be good that you face this individual again being an adult and never having dealt with the issue. I'm not saying bring it up in the sense
on
of
Christmas time.
On Christmas time. But I also think if you're capable, I think what you should do, one, is write a letter. Give it to this guy. Because what the letter seems to do, I believe, is you write out of self. You've had 19 plus years to think about what it has done to you. It sounds like you adjusted well through this terrible ordeal that you went through as a child. And I think if you write him a personal letter, a letter is something he can constantly refer back to, it'll make you feel better about yourself. And if a dialogue is open when you meet this person, you know, maybe you and him could go somewhere and have a talk.
One-on-one?
I would send the letter first.
Yeah. And he's got no chance to interrupt, too.
Right. I would send the letter before you show up. Mm-hmm. To allow this man to hear your words, you know, and feel them before he sees you. Let him know your concerns about your family. You know, let him know that in spite of whatever he did to you and the damage that was done to you, you took that damage and turned it into a positive life. That, to anyone who's abusive and aggressive, is the biggest cut to their soul you can do. Because he did not ruin your life. In fact, what you should concentrate on is the blessings that came out of your life, because it instilled in you a power of strength and stability that you have now passed on to your family. So there's some good that did come out of it, because it's not what happens to you, it's what you're going to do about it. What you did about what happened to you, this terrible thing that happened to you, you turn into a positive, productive life. And yes, it is time to go home and say goodbye to your mother. And send the letter prior to going, put this man in his place, and if it's at all possible, have a sit down and dialogue and have a face to face with him. He's not in a position physically to really do anything to you. You have the upper hand. You're the alpha male now. Mm-hmm. And if I were you, I would be the bigger man. Because at this stage of this man's life, he's on his way out of here. Mm-hmm. He's getting to lose his wife in 20 years excess. At some point, if he has any kind of conscience or any kind of soul, you will self-consume this individual with compassion and the feelings from your heart, and he'll have to take that to his grave, and then he has to look you in the eyes. But at the same time, you must be mindful and vigilant in protecting your young, you know, your young offspring. So keep him away from that.
Do you think he? Do you think?
But the greatest thing you could do for this man, as far as revenge, if that is on your mind, and you have every right to feel vengeful, is to send him to himself. Send him deep in himself. Let him know how you feel through a letter. If it's possible to go out, he might not even be in the house when you get there after the letter comes.
True.
What about an email, Gramps?
Nah. Written word.
Okay. It's more thoughtful.
Tear-stained paper,
okay.
Parchment.
So question number three, and I'm going to say this now.
Uh-oh.
Eddie, strap in.
Strap in. If there's any slang you don't understand,
I don't need
know.
No deal,
let
though.
Us know. Just strap, you know.
All right, I want to get this
what?
Right. I want to get the salutation.
Prepare
correct,
yourself.
Eddie, so
prepare yourself mentally.
For what? Yeah. Why? Somebody's insulting me
some
again?
Shit. No.
But I got to prepare for this salutation that this person wrote. I actually watched a couple YouTube videos online, so I want to get this
about
right.
About who?
Ready? Hoorah, Eddie.
Fuck the Marines.
Whoa, you knew that. I didn't know that
you knew
when
that.
I read this.
I know what the fuck it is.
Hoorah.
Oh,
dude,
I had no idea
looking
what that
shit
was
up.
When I read this.
Hoorah?
Yeah,
what's it mean?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's some male masochistic fucking beat your chest gorilla shit.
Holy shit, I had no idea. I swear to God.
Hoorah!
Ask Matt.
Hoorah! Number
like,
one. Hoorah! All motherfucker, right. Please. Get a job.
Wow. All right, here we go.
Sell
exactly
some brooms. Sell some brooms.
I have military in my back.
I'm not even going to I'm not going
to
go back.
I used to love the Marines when I was his age. I wanted to be a Marine. That's the smartest thing I did not do in my life is join that fucked up organization.
Whoa. Okay, here we go.
Well,
wow.
We're about to see how
brainwashed my motherfucking
ass.
The
so
show
you got
is
some
great.
Background. You got some background.
Here we go. The show is great, but this being a complicated matter, let me just get straight to the point. After
like
high school, a bunch of buddies and I thought we'd get out of our shitty hometown, so we all decided to sign up for service.
That's what I was going to do.
I signed
dumb
up.
Dumb motherfucker!
I signed up with the tip of the spear, the first to fight, the USMC.
Yeah, the first to die, first to get fucked over, and the one the least recognized and accepted when you get back to your country. Jeez. Wake up, bitch!
All right, hold on a minute. Come on. A handful of my...
Fuck the Marine Corps!
You're going to say that when they're knocking down your door. On Bronson, by the way.
Fuck them.
On Bronson.
Let them come. I'm prepared, bitch!
A handful of my bros had gotten into trouble in the past. And
I
were
bet
advised,
you have.
And
that crazy shit they teach you. Trying to drag you a swimming pool.
Hey, Eddie, can I read the question? You want to just yell?
Fuck the Marines!
And we're advised to sign up with the
Hoorah!
And we're advised to sign up with the U.S. Merchant Marines.
Oh, now you want to see us playing that shit patty cake in the bathroom? Tapping each other on the ass. 4 months at sea, no women, number hard dicks. Yeah, I know you're a Marine, motherfucker. Tip of the spear.
No. He said this
fuck
was his bros.
The Marines.
These were his bros. No, he said.
Yeah,
these
of course
were...
they always ain't bros.
Okay, here.
Now what they call me behind closed doors. And girls, what was up, girl?
I had given them a hard time.
Marine,
Jesus Christ.
Selling that ass.
I had given them a hard time at the time. But then I started getting the letters about their activities, and honestly, I was a little jealous. These guys were telling me about 25-cent BJs in Thailand, all-out bar brawls in Vietnam.
They get free BJs on the boat. What the fuck are you talking about?
Donkey shows in Mexico and all kinds of crazy stuff.
What?
Blowjobs in Thailand.
Donkey shows.
Yeah,
donkey
fucking somebody, you whack.
In Mexico?
Why not? It's full of burros.
That's true.
The burro bang bang?
And some of the Mexicans look like they were birthed by some fucking mules.
All right, here we go. Cut to a couple weeks ago, Eddie. We've all ended up back in our hometown, surprise, and I decided to host a get-together. It was great the first time.
Did they bring any donkeys?
The first time we've been together in almost 7 years. As the night wore on,
Did y'all play Merchant Marine?
As the night wore on, my best friend from high school, I'll call him Mike,
probably called Michelle when y'all was in the service.
With the USMM, had had a few drinks too many, and pulled a DVD out of his jacket. He told
what
us.
What did I say? Whoa.
DVD.
A DVD out of his jacket.
Was that a code word for a dildo?
Now, here's where it gets good.
He told us
good.
This was the thing
this
that was
going to
trump everybody else's glory stories. He put the disc in my DVD player, and we all gathered around the TV.
This sounds like some code for some gay shit, man.
Eddie, just. From the beginning,
DVD about player?
Eddie, from the beginning, it was weird. A scenario unfolded in which a few adult males ran a train on what looked like a 16-year-old girl. This wasn't some sweet and sassy teen.
You sure wasn't a tie boy?
This wasn't some sweet and sassy teen dream you see on the internet. This scared me. The girl was not struggling, so this wasn't a violent rape scene, but she did, however, look dazed, almost drugged. As the DVD drew to a close, I swear to God, you hear an American voice off screen talking to the guys, and then one of the men put a pillow over the girl's face.
What?
Someone, again from off screen, hands another guy a gun. He puts it to the pillow. You see the discharge, quickly followed by the pillowcase becoming damp with blood. Eddie, the room was silent. like now. We hung out for another half hour awkwardly before people started calling it a night. A friend, on his way out, secretly indicated me that the gun clearly looked like a U.S.-issue handgun, and the voice sounded like Mike's. I agreed, but I didn't want to make a big deal out of it. Mike's always been a little, shall we say, off. Everyone left, and to be honest, Eddie, I had a tough time sleeping with those graphic and potentially real images dancing in my head. The next day, I'm tossing beer cans, pizza boxes, etc. out with the trash, and I turn on the TV to watch the game. The DVD player was still on, and Mike's disc, much to my horror, was still lodged in my player. I quickly ejected the disc and locked it into my gun safe so my wife and kid wouldn't see it. Eddie, in your professional opinion, is this potentially evidence of a murder? If so, now I got two merchant marines potentially aware of the fact that this thing is in my possession. What the fuck have I gotten myself into? Help. From Anonymous.
Okay, first of all, I had to see the DVD. How you know it wasn't staged? Were there any cutaways? Was it edited? We don't know. So if I'm saying this because you do have the DVD in your possession. Were there any at any time, did the camera, during the act of the gun and the pillow, did the camera, was there a break in the videography? Mm-hmm. If so, then it's suspect that it really happened. Mm-hmm. If there is no break in the taping, then somebody lost their fucking life.
But they could. It could be one shot and then some squibs.
Well, and my
it could be squibs. But here's the deal: fuck them.
My thing that I told Matt though is a United States Marine. I mean, we're in a time of war. He's gonna know death when he sees it.
That's
I mean,
he,
maybe, maybe not. But the thing is,
I mean, this could have
Mike.
Anonymous.
Okay, Anonymous. First of all,
Mike is the friend.
Squibs on the back of the pillow.
They could have.
On the back.
It could have been all staged. Now the thing is this. Mike or Anonymous. First of all, I do love our military. You know, you open the door and I walk through. You let the horse out the cage and I'm coming at you. But on a serious note, you see how the room got silent with us. If a crime has been committed, then is it incumbent upon you to do the right thing and justice must be served. And the thing is that if you do not, after seeing this video, if I'm not, I may be wrong, but if you withhold evidence, that's one, obstruction of justice. Number two, you become a conspirator after the fact to first degree murder.
Yeah.
So the question is, fuck them niggas. All right? Fuck you. They're not your friends.
Is that a question or an
answer? No. They're not your friends to put you in a position to question or test your friendship when in a matter of life and death to the murder and slaughter of a human being. That is not friendship. That's something else. And I don't know what the fuck is going on. You said dude's a little off. Dude needs to be in a motherfucking cage, if not in the fucking ground. He needs to be handled. All right? Before he hurts somebody else. Guess what, Anonymous? He could come to your fucking house. Let's say I'll give you
that's what he said.
I'll give you a hell of a scenario right here, right now. Let's say they gave that to you somewhere in his sick ass fucking mind. You did something that you're unaware because of his perception. And what he's letting you know, this is a prequel to what's going to happen at your fucking house.
Oh.
Now, if it was me, you did the right thing.
You got kids.
Motherfucker, you ain't seen nothing.
Yeah.
Here's what I would do. You did the right thing by being silent. But the best thing for you to do is bring law enforcement into the situation very, very quickly. And even if this is a prank, bring it to the surface.
Oh, prank war.
Well, what I'm thinking, though, is if you're really listening to the question, and Matt and I kind of made note of this when we were going through the questions, picking them all out, and one of the things he says is that there's an American voice, which led us to think.
Let's reread that.
Which
part.
Led us to think that there were foreign voice. Like this may not be an American.
It may not be an American.
What are you going to go to the local cops and be like?
I don't give a fuck who it is.
Nobody says.
The bottom line is, if something's been committed, somebody's missing somewhere. There's a 16-year-old girl missing somewhere. Mm-hmm. Her face is visible on that video. Now, law enforcement is interdependent worldwide, globally. They put it out, and something's coming back. Mm-hmm. If that murder has been committed, that girl is already missing, and she's already recorded being missing.
Well, I mean, you know, you got merchant marines, like he said, you got merchant marines terrassing around South Asia.
Yeah, but that could be fine. The bottom line, all I'm saying is, when a cop snatches his punk ass off the street and put him in interrogation, we're going to find out where that video is made. See, if there is a game being played, the police will put an end to this bullshit. It's going to be a prank, which no harm, no foul. But the dude's going to have to come clean.
Well, but let's say this. I think there is foul. I will cry foul.
Then you might have statutory rape. Let me understand this.
Girl. Understand we're still
this. Understand this about American law. Okay? You rape, statutory rape, anywhere on the planet Earth. Even though the laws of the country may say the girl is legal, like in Italy, 16 is legal, and all over Europe.
In parts of the U.S., 16 is legal.
Yeah, but
Well, consent.
But consensual sex. That's but the all, thing is this. You can and will be prosecuted by American law if you touch a foreigner on foreign soil and the law finds out about it. Yep. So no.
Yeah.
If the tape's not real and you call the cops...
What?
And they bring Mike downtown, and he's already a little bit off.
Yeah.
And B, you got all your boys going, oh, so you call fucking 5-0 on Mike like that?
Well, okay,
so,
fine.
And then Mike is this fucking lunatic and going, oh, you calling the fucking cops
on me?
Even
though I got off because I didn't do anything?
Okay, fine.
Guess what? Now you really
anonymous,
got problems.
Anonymous,
really
anonymous
got
here's
problems.
What you do first. Just, you know, go out with the boys a couple times and then say, you know, ask, is the tape real?
What?
Ask, is it real?
Come on.
Well, what's he supposed to do?
What, he's going to... The minute he asks them if the tape's real, they're going to go, oh, yeah, where the fuck is that tape? Oh, do the police have it?
I threw it away.
He'd get his ass... No way.
I just went ahead and threw that in the trash.
Yeah. If you take your boys out to a bar and ask them if a snuff film is potentially real, you're not making it out of that bar. They're going to get you. For real.
No. If he's my fucking friend. I want to know, dude, is this really going down? There's no easy way out of this. What would you do if I gave you a tape of a murder? Are you insane?
I'd probably write you. I'd be like, "Dear Eddie, my friend will call him. I'll tell you what I do.
I give it to the police. Or I ask the dude.
Freddie,
I'm
going to
be straight up with you. And I have my gun in my fucking bag. Dude, this tape real? And if he says, yeah, I'm the click clack. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you where this tape's going, bitch. Because I ain't going down with you. All right, if I kept you around my house, I'm going to put a fucking bullet in you.
Put a hot one in you.
All right, I'm saying I will protect myself. Now, back your ass up off me. Because this is where it's going. All right?
So period. It turns into like a juice kind of scenario.
I don't fuck that, man. This is self-preservation. I'm saying, if you can call him on the phone and ask him point blank, dude, is this tape real or not? I'm not fucking around. I got a family. All right? And you just made me a conspirator to murder or an obstruction of justice charge. Are you insane, motherfucker?
But what about this scenario? And I'm going to be devil's advocate. You just give him back the DVD.
No.
And fucking wash your hands of the.
Move your home. Move your home away from
him. No.
Yeah, move and don't give him your address.
No, I wouldn't give him shit and move. Because you know what? That image is not going to stop his brain, man.
So in closing, Mr. Riles, what do you want to say with your holiday 2009 positive thrust?
Get all the pussy you can.
Whoa.
No.
You have the floor.
For your final thrust.
My final thrust in the year of 2009. It's been a hell of a year. And in the last couple of weeks, I've been really thinking about the purpose of. And I think it is time now that we become accountable. You know, in a year that has brought us our first African-American president and world leader upon the stage of humanity. And I think it's time for all of us, if Barack Obama has shown us nothing else, even though he was shoot in because of a purpose or whatever, is that anything is possible. Dreams are possible to come true. Whether it be because of necessity or political need to you know, put a damper on a fire that's brewing with white supremacy. But for real, what I'm saying is, I think it's time if we all take the time to search ourselves, call our own bluff on our own procrastinations, on our own shortcomings, on our own misgivings, and turn the finger and the eye inward and use this time to reflect on what we really want, what we have faked to get, what we have truly earned, and call our own bluff. I think it'll allow a breath of fresh air for those around us who we fight with, who we question, who we blame. I think the greatest blame belongs to self, and it's time for all of us to stand up and be who we really are from inside out instead of outside in. And that is my positive thrust on the way out, because that's the questions I have for myself. It's time for me to stop being a punk. It's time for me to stop sitting in the shadows and being behind everybody else. It's time for me to make my own personal statement. That's the growth cycle I'm on. I think that's the growth cycle of the world. We've been given an opportunity and blessed with a vision that anything is possible in a world of oppression. Please, and I'm saying this more to myself than anyone else, don't miss your time. We all know when our time is here. And sometimes it's so scary and flying is so overwhelming that we choose not to step off the side of the cliff and soar.